الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. There are certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed us. And amongst the things that He has guaranteed us is that our life at some point or the other will come to an end. One is Qiyamah al-Kubra and one is the Qiyamah that is called or in the category of Sughra. When you see your friends passing away, when you see people in your age or those that were part of your group, they are no more here, then that is a sign that you should be getting ready for the bigger Qiyamah, for the small Qiyamah has already begun. And if you look around, and if you go to the cemetery, you will see that people from various ages have passed away. All of a sudden, they are gone. And as Muslims, we have to ask ourselves, what was the lesson of the existence? What lesson do we derive from their passing away? If we don't take any benefit from going to the graveyard, then in reality, we have not understood the purpose of life. As Allah in the Quran says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي, the key word here is الذي خلق الموت والحياة. Logically, we focus on when we are born, date of birth, DOB, not DOD, date of death. We don't focus on that because birth is important to us. So we focus on when we are born. When is my birthday? Birthday refers to the day you were born. So while humanity focuses on when they were born, Allah says something different. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاةِ. Before you focus on your birthday, focus on the aspect of death. And Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ. Allah is the one that has created death. Thereafter Allah says, وَالْحَيَاةِ, life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing us into perspective. And this also proves that the Quran is the book of Allah. Had it been the book of human, the human will say, like for example, if I ask you about you, what you say, I was born, I created, I made that product on a certain day, I came to the country on a certain day. You never say, when I left my country, it was as if I died. When I left that country, I was done with it, it was like a death. We never say that. What we say, I came to this country on a certain day. That means my birth has been on a certain date in as far as my green card is concerned. I bought my car on a certain date. You don't say my previous car got smashed. I gave my previous car a good beating where it couldn't run anymore. You don't say that. What you say, I began with my new car. I began with my life. My child was born. So Allah is teaching us that logically we all focus on life. Had the Quran been written by a human, then he too would have said, we are born and then we die. But because it is Allah that has created the Quran, and when Allah presents things in the Quran, He wants us to reflect upon it. That's why Allah says what He says. For example, Allah will ask the Quran, do you want to be punished? You think Allah needs an answer from me and you? Allah knows the answer. Allah knows our outcome. Allah knows our present. Allah knows our past. He knows before our past. He knows how we came into existence. He knows how we will go into from this existence. He knows what will happen to us in the grave. So when Allah presents certain things in a certain way in the Quran, Allah is doing it because He wants us to reflect upon that phrase. So Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاةِ. O insan, I've created death. So understand that it is Through your death, you will gain your existence. It is through your death, you will gain your life. On the other hand, if you live in this life as if it is not going to come to an end, then in reality you have created your death already. So, by living a moral life, a good life, a conscientious life, an ethical life, staying away from unnecessary things, staying away from unnecessary people, staying away from unnecessary ideas going into your mind, and doing good things, you will think you have died. Why? Because it takes energy. To have good thoughts and stay from bad thoughts, it eats up the mind. To stay away from haram and wrong, and not just eat any type of meat, not hang around any type of people. In other words, when a person makes good decisions, getting up in the morning and reading Quran, it's like as if we're not having fun. This is not life. It's like death. But we learn that this temporary death that you are going through begins a beautiful life in the grave. Because in the grave, the only thing that will help you and I are our deeds. Not our background, not our lineage, not where we have come from, nothing. The only thing that helps a person in the grave is the good deeds they have done. For those of you that are young, staying away from being active on Valentine's Day. Yes, it's like that. You get tempted. You want to send that rose or whatever people send out. Buy those. You feel like buying those chocolates, whatnot. However, if you put that desire behind and you fight it, although it is like death, when you go into the grave, it is like a credit that is given to you. And that credit makes life easier in the grave. So we were talking about the signs of Qiyamah. What are the signs of Qiyamah? And one of the things we mentioned last week was persecution, torturing people will become common. A man would like to see his wife scared. The wife would like to see the husband fearing her. Because she wants that control. She wants that control. And in light of this aspect of persecution, you know what happened a few days ago. Muslim children, Muslim youth, or alternatively, three Muslims were killed merely because of the fact that they were Muslim. Now, just take a step back. Assuming an atheist who had been a Muslim before, had been a Muslim, gave up Islam, became an atheist. Let's say, for example, he killed someone. Do you think they would accept he was ever an atheist? They'll say, yes, he claimed to be an atheist, but because he killed, he had to be a Muslim. That's what will come out. And the proof of this is, for example, Obama, the president. He claims to be not a Muslim. We'll go with that. However, because he lived in an Islamic country, and there were people in his background that were associated with Islam, there are some people that are not believing the fact that he is a non-Muslim. Just by associating with Muslims, imagine the power of being a Muslim now. Now you understand. It says Iman has a lot of power. Iman has so much power that the stronger the Iman, the more you can stay away from wrong. The more you can go towards good. Iman has a fragrance to it. The fragrance of Iman is sensed by the angels, is sensed by the pious people. Imagine, the scent of a Muslim came upon the president, in the sense that he associated with Muslims, certain people in his background happen to be Muslim. Even though he claims to be a non-Muslim, there are some people that refuse to believe that he has, as part of his faith, the non-Islamic proclamation. So, Coming back to this issue of this individual that killed these three individuals, nobody ever says, although he's claiming to be an atheist, but because his background is Christian, it's a Christian killing. And Christianity is now trying to practice the crusade in the modern days. No Muslim is saying that. So the lesson we learn is a very powerful lesson, that when we do the smallest wrong, and by the way, we shouldn't do wrong, we should not kill, we should not commit acts of violence, but the smallest wrong you do is going to be magnified. And our children have to understand this. Our children have to realize that when you are a minority in a country, whatever country that is, everything gets magnified. Especially the wrongs you do, it gets magnified. That's why I tell people that come to this country that are new, don't go and take government aid. Try to, of course, if it's necessary, it's necessary, but try to get an education. Or try to get a job. Try to go and pursue something and make something of yourself. Because when you take aid, the many people from the dominant culture that take aid, it's as if nothing they are taking. Why is that they are viewed as if they are taking nothing? Because they will say, we came at the time of the founding fathers. We contributed to the growth of America. We contributed to all these various things. So we have that right to take. You, on the other hand, what are you going to say? You come to Afghanistan, you take my resources. You go to Iraq and you take my oil. You go to Saudi Arabia and you have control over the government. You do all these things. And you take all the resources and you bring it here. So I have the right to take this. It doesn't work like that. Because, let me tell you one thing. In the mind of the one that is powerful, they believe might is right. Understand this. When a person is powerful, he can do or she can do whatever they want. Because they believe might is right. Don't tell me what to do. So now coming back to the signs of Qiyamah. Persecution will become, for those of you that are, I guess, the Qiyamah means the signs of the coming of the end of time. So point number 12 was persecution, killing, oppressing people will become an everyday thing. Wherever in the world it is, it'll be an everyday thing. People will get a thrill out of seeing someone else suffering. Number 13, divorces will become common. It'll be an everyday thing. For small things that say we can't get along. You go your way, I go my way. They won't try to reconcile. They won't try to work things out. It'll be as if it's a common thing. I met someone else on Facebook, went on Twitter, met someone else, I move on. Common. That's what it's saying. That is why we have to monitor. I don't say control, but monitor what our children are doing. And when they do wrongful things, guide them gradually. Number 14, deaths will increase. Especially sudden deaths. For no reason. A man or woman will just fall. And that's it, the life will come to an end. Number 15. The one that has amana, trust. Amana is the entrusting of something. So I give you money to keep. I give you my title deed to keep. There was a case in California. A fellow kept the title deed of the home with an accountant. He just kept it for whatever purpose. He trusted the accountant. When he came back 5 years' time, from wherever he came back, the house was gone, the house was sold, finished, transaction done. That's what he says. And the accountant is looked upon as a very reputable person. Why? He donates a lot to the local masjid. So, mashallah, he's a good man. Yeah, he did one, two wrong things. He sold people's houses, he just put the money aside, but he donates, he's a good man. That's what the hadith is saying. Number 15 is that the person who uses up the amana because of a few side good deeds, he's a reputable person, a reputable woman, etc. There are some women, when they left their countries and came to America, they left their jewelry with their mothers-in-law. Or even their mothers. When they went back, the mother gave it to another daughter. Oh, you in America, you don't need this anymore. Or the wasn't funny, it's a sad thing, my brother. Or the mother-in-law will take it and say, it's now, I don't feel you need it as much as I do. Tell your husband to buy you what you need. And that mother-in-law be considered a wonderful person. So the hadith is saying, the one that keeps the trust, even though they violate the trust, they will be still looked upon as moral and righteous. Look at our politicians. Look at some of the police officers. They have a trust that Allah has given them. When they pull you over, I'm not saying I've experienced this necessarily, but when they pull people over, they won't say, okay, what's going on? Okay, I'm sorry, but you know you were going a little bit above the speed limit. Here's the ticket. No, what they say, you tell them, officer, before you can say officer, what they say, tell it to the judge. They feel powerful because you can't do anything. So the hadith is saying that don't become this way where you violate the trust that I've given to you. Number 16, the keeper of amana, the one that keeps the trust and doesn't violate it, that person will be looked upon as a fool. Imagine, the one that keeps the trust, the one that fulfills the right of the trust, the one that wishes to give you back your property in a good way, people will say, that guy is an idiot. They gave him money to keep, he didn't know how to keep it. He didn't know how to use it. They gave him the title deed, he didn't know how to have fun with it. They gave her the jewelry to keep, she didn't know how to go and reinvest it for her own benefit. She's a fool. That's exactly what is happening in today's time. Number 17, liars will be thought as being honest because they'll lie in such a manner that as if it is an art. False accusations will become common. People will lie, they'll accuse one another. They'll make up stories about one another. And people will believe them. And as I mentioned before, one scholar said it very beautiful. And my brothers, take this lesson with you. Anyone tells you anything about anyone else, if you didn't see it, consider it a lie. I listen to many people. People tell me, I did this, I did that, I gave this, I gave that. You may even hear me, or you may even see me talking to such people. But let me tell you one thing. When you are done, you know what I'm going to say in my mind? I don't know. As the Arab brothers say, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. Allah knows best. Because I didn't see you giving that $1 million check. And even if you gave that $1 million check, I didn't see it getting cashed. And even if it got cashed, I don't know if later on you asked for a refund or asked for the check back. So I leave the matter to Allah. When anyone tells you anything about anyone else, follow this rule of saying, it may be a lie. Allah knows best. I will only listen to what I have the facts upon. And that's it. Once you use this principle in life, a lot of grief goes away from you. A lot of falsehood goes away from you. Because the sign of Qiyamah is, false accusations will become the norm and they will become common. Number 20, one that applies to us. Another sign before the end of the coming of time. And by the way, we're not making a prediction here. But number 20 is, it will become hot even though there may be rain. And another place we learn, there will be a lessening of water coming down. Look this year in Utah, for example. And it has been the trend from what I hear, that less and less water is coming down to us. And those places where water is coming down, it is coming down so fast and furious that it creates no benefit. It just comes down and it goes away. So number 20, there will be a lack of water, and water is considered a powerful resource, and there will be a lack of that as a sign that all believers start turning to Allah. Now another hadith we learn, why is there a lack of water? There must be a reason. Because adultery goes up and up. In other words, people begin to take pride in committing adultery. It becomes rampant. Men start cheating. Women start cheating. Young ones will prefer to be in a long-term relationship rather than getting married. And by the time they get married, marriage is nothing for them because they've already experienced everything in life. This takes away, according to the hadith, it takes away the barakah from the skies. So if you want water and barakah in your life, stay away from adultery. And if you want destruction in your life, then
Adultery is what you go towards. And may Allah protect us from that. And number 21, instead of wishing for children, people will pray they did not have children. Instead of wishing for children, they say, I wish I never had children. And when a woman is pregnant, she'll just go and have an abortion. And we know the stats on that. Smaller families, number one. And the ones that have smaller families, they're even regretting that. And the one that is pregnant wishes to say, I just wish I can give it up and move on. And number two, 22 and 23, and they will call it a day. People from bad backgrounds and poor backgrounds with bad upbringing, low life. Yesterday they had nothing. Today they will have everything. How they get it, Allah knows best. They will do whatever scheme they can to make it in life so they can impress people and squander more people's wealth along the line. And number 23, good people, when they try to practice good, they will be cut off from individuals. Their families will even tell them, look at him, look at her. He's doing this religious thing, she's doing that. I don't know what the children are up to. They don't understand. The father will even say, I've been around for a long time, my son. The child is trying to do good things, trying to become inclined towards haqq. And the father, forget outsiders, the father and mother will say, no, 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 if you do that, then this will happen. If you do that, they will create fear in a person's life and the person has no fear regarding the good they are doing. So that's also a sign of Qiyamah, that good people, when they try to practice and try to do good things, they will be cut off from people, or alternatively, they'll be cut off from the good deed, because people will sanction them and put them down for what they are doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in understanding these few things that we are sharing, and inshallah we'll continue. And as I said previously, we have only one purpose for sharing these words, is to make us realize signs of Qiyamah, so that way when we are confronted with these activities, inshallah, we will let go of them and will become more cognizant of our everyday behaviors. There is one announcement here. One announcement. Al-Haji Al-Yurif.